Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, we came here this morning for good news, and now we have these hard words. Please guide us into hope. Amen. So, actually, I'm not going to preach on these hard words, but if I were to preach on them, I would say that one of the, I think, tragedies of the brokenness of the institutional church over the millennia has been to kind of provide a way for us to gloss over or kind of glide over the top of this life of ours to hope for a better life in the by and by. And that has not worked out so well for the planet. And it is not, I don't think, at all what Jesus is calling us into. So when we hear Jesus' words talking about end times, it's not a call for detachment. It's a call for deeper engagement. And so to that end, it happens to be our stewardship season. And so it may be the first time you've ever been glad to have a stewardship talk in church, because otherwise we're going way deep into apocalypse. So, but there is a connection, and the connection is that I think that when we take seriously how dire the times are, that we are called to make the world we live in more beautiful, and to make it more beautiful in God's eyes, and that's through being kind and compassionate to one another, reaching out our hands in love to the community around us. And that actually is what stewardship is all about. And so our stewardship chairs, Mimi Anderson and Lori Oakes, are here with us today. And I'm going to invite Mimi to come up now and to share with you a little bit about what she's learned from you all in the stewardship season guidance that she and Lori have been giving us.
Good morning. So it's no secret that Emmanuel is alive because of all of us. And I've been thinking a lot about relationships here, the heartbeat of Emmanuel, especially all the silent, unseen acts of love and service that bring our community to life. So in lieu of listening to one angel, I've asked many of you to reflect on Emmanuel, why you give, and what you receive here. I've been so moved by your candid, heart-filled responses. So here's an excerpt of our collective song of inspiration and love. May it inspire you to give generously and receive openly.
So we're going to go back and forth, and each one of these is a snippet of what folks sent in. To give gives me hope. To give gives me love. To give answers my longing heart with an act that I pray makes a difference all along the way. To give makes me whole.
My stewardship thoughts always start from Chronicles, as paraphrased in the hymn, "All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee." So here's a short message. We are blessed to live on Orcus because of its natural beauty, the bounty of its farms and the surrounding Salish Sea, the island community, and especially our Emmanuel community. We see God in this place and each other. It's a joy to give to Emmanuel, for we are merely returning to God a portion of what God has given us.
Emmanuel has always been a welcoming beacon for me. From the very first time I walked into a service with my four children in tow, right up to the present day. The memory of the nurturing I received from the rector and the people of the congregation will ever remain in my heart. The relationships that have been developed over the years since with the priests and the parishioners have continued to nourish me. Also, the Eucharist service has always been a source of inspiration for me, in addition to the fellowship, and I want to give back to my church what I have received with a grateful heart.
Being an Emmanuel gives me a time to reflect on life's truths.
I feel so fortunate to have Emmanuel and our priest in my life. I feel any contributions I can make, whether it be time or treasure, are so insignificant compared to what I receive from this wonderful parish.
Giving to church works out to be a heartwarming thing for me. just like working in or around the church. My heart feels good about it.
I've been giving regularly to Emmanuel for 4 or 5 years, both with time and money, not much money, but at least a regular bit. During that time, I and my family have undergone numerous crises, yet I've always felt supported by the love and prayers, and sometimes physical help of our Emmanuel community. This included someone planting my onions for me when I couldn't, and another person washing my kitchen floor. Prayer in action. I am really proud to be associated with this group of people who are clearly a community for good within a larger community of our beloved island. Most of us make a really conscious effort to put the teachings of the gospel to practice, reaching out lovingly and not judgmentally to many people, whether they're members of our church or not. My little financial contribution is more symbolic than anything else, but it is seed money. And given with love, it produces reciprocal energy. I believe that many of us are living by the dictum, from each according to her or his ability, to each according to their need. Each of us who tosses a pebble in the waters of possibility initiates wide-reaching ripples of influence. Thanks to all for truly being stewards of our community in every possible way. Together, we create a situation in which the whole truly is greater than the sum of its parts.
We have always considered Emmanuel as our church home by choice. As in any home, our church needs loving care, attention, service, and maintenance. As members, we feel it is a privilege to support financially through service and through sharing the gifts we have been given.
We come here together as a loving family, encouraging one another in times of need. Our spirit ripples into the wider world, the cosmos, and beyond. I feel fortunate to have been a part of the search committee that brought Berto and Hugh to Emmanuel. Their loving compassion is contagious. The reason we come to Emmanuel is because of its adaptability and inclusiveness, which in turn makes us a vibrant community.
Emmanuel has been our family church since 1948. It was the main civilizing force, apart from Nellie S. Milton School, for us children. I was an acolyte here and was confirmed by Stephen Bain. And whenever any of our family has been on the island, it has been our home parish. My father's ashes are in the wall, and we fully expect to join him there for the long pull, but not too soon. For whatever reasons, Emmanuel has been able to attract some extraordinary preaching and teaching talent, and Berto is among the best of these.
Each day, I see that I have lived a scattered life. At times, I'm aware of God and his love. At times, I seek to love and serve others. At times, I retreat into my inner self. Inconsistency, what a burden. Yet there remains a consistent urge to love God with my entire heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love others as I love myself. Jesus, through Emmanuel Parish, helps make me whole.
I guess my truest feeling is that the people of Emmanuel give so much to me and to my family, and that it's important to give back, to be the same for others, to fill Emmanuel's cup. Emmanuel is definitely my spiritual home, but it's also the place I find joy, connection, and comfort through relationship.
I love Emmanuel. I love being a part of a spiritual community, particularly this one, which gives me permission to be who I am and who I am becoming. Having been raised to tithe, it is a natural thing for me to give financially, now that I again have a church home. I'm so grateful for this church and its people.
My ongoing spiritual journey of self-awareness and self-growth brings gift to me from Emmanuel parishioners, our clergy, as well as those from our wider community. These gifts are not meant for me to keep. Rather, they are to be shared with all. And so I give of my time and talent, and in so doing, I find my gifts increase exponentially.
Without the Emmanuel community and weekly worship, I fear I would be lonely and lost in a relativistic ethic. the spiritual journey is both soul-grounding and soul-building, transformational, as Berto likes to describe it.
To some or many, Emmanuel has been a locale, a destination, or a spiritual home. From another perspective, Emmanuel might be seen as a doorway ultimately to holy presence. This is the whole we seek to touch, to be touched by, to live in and from. People see Emmanuel's signposts and physical openings, the front red doors, the labyrinth entrance, the portal of the Eucharist meal, and its other gateways and signs of life, intending to invite and enliven growth. There are actually many doors at Emmanuel that manifest a welcoming God, meeting both subtle and tangible needs as creatures in this far-flung journey. Have you ever counted how many doors open and close to some encounter in our shared space? How do they invite and capture our intent for being? Perhaps something to be grateful for. Whatever tugs or compels to come through the Emmanuel doorway, curiosity, beauty, familiarity, possibility, connection, it is to experience the more beyond these doors. What winds through these Emmanuel threshold is a God who is with us. To see, experience, and participate with this one who is present with each collective breath quickens our steps. Whether the doorways are quaint, perhaps as a reminder of those who came before us, or whether digital to remind us that we change, God meets us, waiting ahead with possibilities. But mostly, Emmanuel is a doorway of embodiment to a reality within and beyond our narrow bits and pieces. We stand, we kneel, we bow, we watch, we eat, and clean up. We talk and sing, we walk and listen, we laugh. And we cry. And we feel deeply this reality through the people, hoping and praying, practicing to be doorways themselves, to become more alive through one more hymn, one more interaction, one more child growing up, through one more recognition of belonging and naming, through one more welcoming act, one more meeting, one more priest, one more church season, so many particularities. What we have glimpsed and grown to, let us give thanks and add our deepening selves to the God with us, doorway of Emmanuel. Amen. Amen.